Welcome to Legal Nurse Podcast, where you will get tips to expand your legal nurse consulting skills. Every week, you'll hear from experts from within and outside of legal nurse consulting. They will share their knowledge to help you grow. Your show is moderated by Pat Iyer, a legal nurse consultant with 30 years experience. So, join our community, sit back, relax, and get ready to learn. Here's Pat.
Hey, this is Pat Iyer with Legal Nurse Podcast, and I'm pleased to bring to you Amanda Love, who is a person I met through one of my networking groups. Amanda has expertise from firsthand experience with a condition that legal nurse consultants sometimes encounter in medical records, particularly after trauma. And her condition is one that's not well understood and is something that legal nurse consultants need to have a grip on in order to understand some of the implications for people who've been involved in trauma. Amanda, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Let's talk about this mysterious condition that I alluded to. Tell our viewer or our watcher who's looking at this on our YouTube channel, what is it that you've been diagnosed with?
I was diagnosed with fibromyalgia in October 2010, so it's been over 10 years.
Okay. And was there some precipitating incident? Was there some type of trauma, or did this hit you out of the blue?
So that's the question that a lot of people want to know. And I think for me personally, I was born 6 weeks early, but I was super sick every 4 to 6 weeks. So my immune system was crashing. I was on so many antibiotics and stuff. And so it might've been something to do with that. And also I couldn't have a life. So, I mean, I did have some childhood trauma, right? But the big thing was I turned 20 and I couldn't get off the couch. And so then what do, right?
And tell us what that meant for you, that you couldn't get off the couch. What
did So I completed a personal training program, 500 hours right out of high school. And I turned 20, and like 2 weeks later, I turned 20. And all of a sudden, I would go to the gym and I would just come home and I was crashing, taking hour, 2 hour naps for out of the blue. And in your 20s, you're supposed to have like tons of energy and you're supposed to be all go, go, go. And I couldn't do anything. I couldn't focus. My sleep wasn't right. I had super bad headaches. And I was also in so much pain that I couldn't focus on anything but staying on the couch and doing nothing. And so that took 10, that luckily I was diagnosed young at 20, like 10 months later. And that was at the top rheumatology place in Mesa, Arizona.
Mm-hmm. And then what happened there?
Now they said you could do two options. I said, okay. One was medication, which everybody has seen the commercials for the medication for fibromyalgia in the U.S. If you're in the U.S., it's Cymbalta or Lyrica are the top two. And so I did the Cymbalta. I was so nauseous. I felt horrid. And I was like, I'm not going to stay on this for the rest of my life. And then the second option was physical therapy, which is sort of interesting. They always say physical therapy for people with fibromyalgia. And I always say fibromyalgia is not an overweight issue. You can look totally normal. I've never had any weight issues in my life. But you could still have fibromyalgia. So I did that for about 6 weeks. I did the swimming. I did the weight training, which is sort of funny considering I had just done that personal training program. But, but I mean, they don't really, those are the two options I got. And then they said, okay. I said, what I thought, what's next? And there was a pain management place right next door. And that's where I went and did the pain management, which mm-hmm. was excruciating.
Mm. What did they do for pain management?
Yeah, so for pain management, you had your normal consultation, right? Then they say, you're going to have three treatments. And I'm like, okay. And so what happens is you go, you get your weight, everything, your blood pressure and all that. They take that. And then you put on like a hospital gown and with the back open. And with fibromyalgia, they draw the little circles on all these like really trigger points. So your back, your neck, your legs and stuff. But what they do is they shoot like a huge needle right into all those trigger points. And so if you have 13 of the 18 trigger points, they're shooting the needle, that's excruciating pain. Mm-hmm. And you're awake, mm-hmm. which I think people need to know is not something that you're sleeping and your blood sugar drops. And then they say, well, that's going to help with the pain. And you're going to have cookies and juice. And you have to be still for a little while to get that blood sugar back up.
And you went through this three times?
I actually did not do it the third time. I was like, this is not, if something's not working, I'm not going to keep doing something. So I was like, I'm only going to do this twice. And the third time I was not going to do it. And I think that's the big thing with fibromyalgia. If something's not working, then don't keep doing it.
Mm-hmm. It gave you no relief at all?
Mm-mm, no relief, nothing. I would come out and I would be crying. I was in so much pain. And my grandmother would drive us home and then they would say, oh, you have to take it sort of easy for like a day. But I mean, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even know what to do.
So you tried physical therapy and you tried the Cymbalta and it had very unpleasant side effects, it sounds like.
Yeah.
And then you tried the trigger points. Have you tried anything else for fibromyalgia?
Yeah, so I did pretty much everything. I did acupuncture. I did a naturopath. I did vitamin shots all these things. The problem is it's very, very expensive and everything's like out of pocket. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that's the horrible thing. And stuff with fibromyalgia, if you really want to get answers, you're going to probably have to pay out of pocket. And I eventually went to a wellness chiropractor just because my grandma found a little newspaper clipping that said wellness talk, free talk, right? And he said to her, well, if she has fibromyalgia, your granddaughter, at age 20, then she's been very, very sick a very long time.
Hmm.
And my grandmother had been a nurse. And so she thought, oh, he really gets it. And so that started the process of working with him for 8 months and doing a stool testing, saliva testing, food sensitivity testing, which I think is a huge thing for people with fibromyalgia. And I think in life, you have to keep going with this. You just have to figure it out. And Luckily, I found out I had two genes that predisposed me to gluten sensitivity. highest in his practice at the time. I had a soy sensitivity, egg sensitivity, and dairy sensitivity. And all of those were really high. And so that started me on the process of getting rid of all of those foods and just going back to the basics of fruits, meats, vegetables, healthy food, not gluten, not dairy. I mean, and eventually reintroducing those foods and then seeing if they were triggers, were they contributing to my health? And they were, honestly.
By reintroducing those foods.
Yeah.
Were you able to narrow down what you could eat and what you couldn't?
Yeah, you can do it just by elimination diet, or there's actually testing by labs and stuff where you could find out and stuff. I think the problem is, I think if people don't do the lab testing sometimes, then they're more likely to cheat. And I always say to people, one little molecule of gluten can stay in your body for up to weeks, up to months. So if you're going to be strict, you have to stay off of it for at least a month or two. And I always say, gluten is the big thing right now, but gluten might not be the whole answer. I think a lot of times we think it is, but we have all these other foods that could be contributing to your health.
Mm-hmm. I know you just said that you always say to other people about the gluten molecule. Have you been able to connect with other people with fibromyalgia?
Yeah, I think food sensitivities play a huge role with fibromyalgia. I just don't think it's pushed as much as it should be, I feel like the medications, the physical therapy, the pain management, maybe you join a support group type of thing. I mean, that's what's pushed. The food aspect is not pushed. And I've had there was a comment on Facebook and someone said, oh, I've had fiber for 20 years. And it was, I believe it was my diet all along. And she changed her diet. I mean, I feel like food plays a huge role in almost every health condition, but it's not as pushed. It's more we want the easy, quick fix. We want the pill. We want the supplement that's going to fix all our health issues, but we don't want to get deeper into what's going on. Because you have to also work on maybe some mindset, trauma, some other stuff like that, along with the food choices and the supplements. It's not a one thing.
No, you know, that multidisciplinary, holistic approach seems to work best for a lot of conditions.
Yeah, I totally agree.
I think you're highlighting something that many of our viewers may not be aware of, which is the role of nutrition in treating fibromyalgia, because the traditional approach is the medications, the physical therapy. And I think the other challenge, and I'm sure you've experienced this, Amanda, is that it's not a condition that's well understood.
No, and the sad thing is they're cutting research for it in the US. So that's a problem in itself. So, and we need the answers and stuff. We need that research so people could actually know everything that we need to know about fibromyalgia.
I know that you're in touch then with other people with this condition. What do they say in terms of, do they encounter skepticism from doctors or healthcare providers?
Yeah.
And what's that like for them?
Yeah, that's the big thing. It's a very skepticism about like, oh, you look totally normal, so you should be totally about doing everything and stuff. And when I was diagnosed, I went out of the room. My grandmother was told by the rheumatologist, well, she's depressed. And of course I was depressed. I was 20 years old. Right. I was 20 years old. I couldn't get off the couch. And a lot of people I talk to with fibromyalgia, they get this from their doctors. I think they get it from their friends. I think they get it from their family because they used to be vibrant. They used to be doing life. They maybe now can't work or they can't cook and stuff. So that's the sad part right now, is that so many people don't have that support system. And we never tell someone with fibromyalgia that it's in their head. They would not want this condition on anyone in their life. And if they don't want to be in pain, they don't want to be not sleeping through the night or feel like they've been hit by a truck or not getting any sleep at all, or just their energy and stuff along with everything else. So I think it's, you have to just be supportive of people with fibromyalgia is the big thing. And just don't tell them that it's in their head, because that's not a great thing for them. They just want to feel loved and everything.
Yes, it sounds like it would impair many aspects of your life.
Mm-hmm, it does. A lot of people quit work. You can't cook. I remember I couldn't even take it. I would take a shower. The water would hit my back, my legs and stuff, and I would be in so much pain. And then once you got out of the shower, you're so fatigued. And so then it's like you don't even want to take a shower for several days because you can't. You're so exhausted. Mm-hmm. And I remember I couldn't even go to the store or a church or do anything I wanted to do, because that would just wipe me out for like weeks. So it's a very horrible condition for those who deal with it.
Well, since you've been working with these dietary modifications, has there been any improvement in your symptoms?
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, pretty much quickly after a few weeks, my immune system was getting better. The headaches were gone. The pain is gone. The energy is extremely better and stuff. So it does take time. And I always tell people I'm working on my health journey. I'm not perfect. So I don't expect you to be perfect. And your life might be different than mine, but we can improve it, right? It just might take some time. And you have to have the patience to do it, right?
Mm-hmm. And how do you earn a living now, Amanda?
Yeah, so I'm a registered holistic nutritionist because I saw that there wasn't that many people out there who could help people with fibromyalgia the natural way. And so I help people through supplements, food choices, lifestyle, through my one-on-one services or my group programs. And I just want people to not give up with fibromyalgia. It's a horrible condition, but I've been there and I've come out the other side. So I want you to come out the other side.
How can our listener or our viewer get in touch with you if they want more information or are interested in the services that you offer?
Yeah, so I have my website, which is amandaleaselove.com. I have a podcast, which is Fibromyalgia, Real Solutions with Amanda Love. And if they want to connect with me on Instagram or Facebook, they could always friend request me and send me a private message. I'm happy to connect with them that way.
All right. Well, you've given us great information, Amanda, about a condition that legal nurse consultants encounter in medical records and need to understand more about. So I appreciate the tips that you shared with our audience today.
Thank you so much.
And for you who has been listening to this or watching this on our YouTube channel, be sure to tell other legal nurse consultants about Legal Nurse Podcast. We have shows every week, with or without dogs, and we love to hear your comments about our show. Thanks so much. This is Pat Iyer with Janelle Anderson, and we've been talking about a subject that holds many legal nurse consultants back at different points in their business or in their career. Janelle, what are some of the highlights of what we talked about, and what is this key ingredient that I just referred to?
Well, the key ingredient is confidence. And we talked about why that's so important to have it, and a little bit about my background, why it's so important to me. I was not always confident. So I tell a little bit about my story there. And then I also share with your listeners about a formula I've developed on how you can actually create your own confidence. It's not necessarily a gene you're born with, but you can create confidence for yourself. So I kind of give the highlights of my 6-step formula that I have used with many women, and I've seen that it works. So they can take that formula and begin to use it. And we also touched a little bit about the imposter syndrome, what it is and how it really does affect women, you know, some of the reasons why it's such a problem, or it can be. And at the end, I think I shared a resource that I have that could be helpful to develop confidence for your audience.
Thank you. Be sure to look for Janelle Anderson's podcast on the topic of confidence on Legal Nurse Podcast.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Check out Pat Iyer's resources for legal nurse consultants on legalnursebusiness.com. Pat coaches legal nurse consultants so they make more money, get more clients, and avoid expensive mistakes. Check out her coaching program at lncacademy.com. Please subscribe to our podcast and leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Join our community to get notified of each new episode and to receive the transcript of today's program. Complete the request form on podcast.legalnursebusiness.com. We appreciate you and your interest.